Welcome to ChemCast, a podcast produced for Charlottesville High School Honors Chemistry students. If you're looking for information about problem sets, labs, or you just want to know more about the wonders of chemistry, you've come to the right place. ChemCast is produced by Tom Schultz, the instructor of the course, and will cover concepts in the world of chemistry discussed throughout the class. So dive in and give a listen to ChemCast.
Welcome to the show. This is Tom Schultz for ChemCast, and I'm glad you're listening. Well, last time in class, we actually got a chance to talk about lab safety and lab equipment. And it was nice because we were able to open up the drawers and the cupboards and kind of take everything out and really get a handle on, literally, what all the equipment was. But I know sometimes in terms of getting to know the equipment and know the names of the equipment and what it's used for, seeing it once, twice, really isn't enough. And I'm really confident, actually, that this year, obviously, as we use the equipment, you're not going to have a problem understanding and knowing what it is and what it's used for, because that's what we're going to be doing. But, you know, since it's the beginning of the year and, you know, we have a quiz on the equipment and lab safety and just problem sets 1 through 3, I thought it might be nice to do a podcast on the equipment. So as I go through and talk about the equipment, you will see pictures of the different equipment and glassware that will pop up on your screen if you have an iPod or iTunes or a similar MP3 player. So let's get started. What I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to use that list I gave you when we went through the equipment drawers in class, Appendix B. So if you want to grab that and follow along, feel free to do so. But the first piece of equipment that we pulled out was a cone funnel. And it looks just like a cone, and obviously it's a funnel. It's pretty self-explanatory. But we'll actually be using that quite a bit this year. You might have seen a cone funnel if you were putting oil in your car, or maybe you've seen your dad putting oil in their car. So we'll be using funnels a lot this year. The next type of funnel is actually kind of an odd-looking funnel. It's long and skinny, narrow, and we call that a dropper funnel. You'll also see it called a thistle tube funnel, kind of like a thistle on a weed, something sharp and pointy. So it's a thistle tube funnel, and that's used to get whatever it is you're pouring through the funnel right to the bottom of the solution so that it does not interact with any of the air. So it's a thistle tube funnel. We're going to call it a dropper funnel throughout the course. The next piece of equipment that you'll see is the mortar and the pestle. And this is the symbol, actually, for pharmaceuticals or pharmacy. In fact, today I had to go to Rite Aid and pick up some stuff. And sitting right up there on the shelf, right behind the pharmacy, was the mortar and pestle. Go figure. It was pretty awesome. I thought, field trip? Just kidding. So, as you know, the mortar and pestle, we use that to grind things down, to take big, chunky salts, usually, and just get them down to a nice fine powder so that we have a increased surface area, and that'll help things dissolve a lot quicker. The next thing we took a look at was the scoopula. I said that right. It's not a scoop, it's not a spatula, it's actually a scoopula. And of course we use this for scooping out chemicals out of containers, getting what we need, and also we can use the scoopula to scrape the insides of beakers if you got something kind of caked on in there. So the scoopula is kind of a nice, handy, all-around tool that's used very frequently in the lab. The micro spatula is just that. It's a little spatula that is small, and we can actually use this to put right down into a test tube and kind of turn it back and forth in between our thumb and forefinger, either to stir up what's in the test tube, or we can even use the micro spatula to scrape out something at the bottom of the test tube or even in a beaker, a small beaker. So the micro spatula is used for a variety of things. Whatever you think the micro spatula might be good for, it probably is. It can get in there and kind of get into all those nooks and crannies that maybe a scoopula can't. Forceps. Sometimes you just want to call them tweezers. Forceps, we use those for a lot of different things, obviously. Anything you could think of using tweezers for. We use them to hold litmus paper and dip the paper into acid or base. We use them to take out chunks of metal, maybe that we have in a mixture that we don't want those big chunks of metal in there, so we just kind of dig around with the forceps. So forceps are used, obviously, for things like that. The crucible tongs we took a look at, and we talked about how crucible tongs are used incorrectly so many times. A lot of the other underclassmen tend to try to pick up beakers with crucible tongs, and that's just a bad idea. A lot of times you'll get beakers falling to the ground if that's what you're using crucible tongs for. So crucible tongs actually have that little bend right in them to pick up those small little teacup looking crucibles, and that's specifically what they're for, hence the name crucible tongs, go figure. And so crucible tongs are also used, you can actually pick up the cap or the top of the crucible with the crucible tongs, and so you can kind of pinch with them and grab that way, or just use that little bend in there to kind of wrap around the crucible and set it into the clay triangle, which we're going to look at here in a second. The test tube clamp is just that. It's a clamp for a test tube. And so works real easy. Give it a squeeze, the mouth opens up, and it's able to just kind of wrap around that test tube. The wire gauze goes right on top of the ring clamp. And the wire gauze, if you're familiar with gauze at all, maybe you've had to unfortunately put gauze on yourself if you've been in the hospital or you had a really bad scrape or wound. A lot of times in the hospital, they'll call gauze 4x4 or a 4x4 gauze. And that's because usually the gauze that they use there is 4 inches by 4 inches. And so the wire gauze looks kind of like, or at least has the same shape as a gauze there. And that's kind of where they got the name, wire gauze, except it's made out of wire. Now the wire gauze is designed so that you can put it on top of a ring clamp and then set a beaker on top of the ring clamp so that you can heat it with a Bunsen burner from below. The clay triangle is made for a crucible. You know, you're not going to be able to really take a crucible and set it on top of a wire gauze and have it be really stable. I mean, the base of that crucible is pretty small, and so it's a little sketchy sitting up there on top of that wire gauze. And so this clay triangle is really nice because it sits right on top of the ring clamp, and then you can just slide that crucible right in the middle of the triangle, and that triangle just kind of holds on to the sides of the crucible. And again, you can heat that crucible from below with a Bunsen burner. It gets really hot. The clay, the crucible itself get red hot in some of the labs that we're going to do. And so obviously that's why we have those crucible tongs to grab the crucible. The utility clamp is just that. It's made for everything. It's a utility clamp. You can do a lot of different utilities with it. And the most common thing that we're going to do with the utility clamp is probably hold test tubes in one place over a Bunsen burner for a longer period of time. When you don't feel like standing there with your test tube clamp and holding it with your hands, or maybe the test tube clamp starts to get a little hot, the utility clamp is nice because it clamps onto the ring stand, and you can adjust it to tilt away from your face and away from everybody else, and it'll hold it there for you all by itself. And so there are different sized utility clamps. Here's a picture of a different one. It's actually holding a flask. And so utility clamps come in different sizes and shapes, and we've got a few different utility clamps in our arsenal of equipment. Weighing boats are those plastic, flimsy little things that you see sitting in your drawer. We'll actually probably get new weighing boats whenever we start a lab, because they do get dirty and we don't want to kind of cross-contaminate the chemicals that we're using. So they're disposable, and as you know, we never pour any of our dry chemicals right on the scale. That'd be silly. We actually take our weighing boat, put the chemicals in the weighing boat, and then we get the mass of that whole weighing boat chemical unit. So we would then subtract the mass of the weighing boat after, or you can actually take the weighing boat, put it on the scale, hit tear, which zeroes out the readout on the scale, and now the scale kind of doesn't see that mass of the weighing boat. You can go get your chemicals, put them in the weighing boat, put them back on the scale, and then you'll actually be able just to get the mass of the chemicals and not the weighing boat. So, well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back right after this.
Questions about chemistry? Don't forget to use the online form to collaborate with your classmates. Go to honorschemistry.shutterfly.com to get on board.
Welcome back. Well, let's talk about a wash bottle. It looks like a water bottle, but nope, if you're feeling a little famished in Chem Lab, it's not for you to drink out of. It's actually for washing our chemicals that we need to wash. And also, too, sometimes when you're pouring stuff out of a beaker or out of a flask, there's stuff left in there and it's kind of hard to get to. And instead of trying to scrape it out with a rubber policeman or a micro spatula, you can just kind of blast all that stuff at the bottom of the beaker or the flask with the distilled water that's probably in your water bottle. So that's what we use those for. The rubber policeman is kind of a weird word. It's kind of funny, but it's actually called a rubber policeman because it's used kind of like, it reminds me of the spatula that I use at home to make pancakes. So that white rubber spatula, at least mine's white, that I have at home, when I'm mixing up that pancake batter, man, that rubber spatula is nice. It just kind of cleans the sides of that bowl right off and I get everything. And so the rubber policeman is actually made to do just the same thing. Kind of polices out all the leftover powder or chemical or whatever might be in that beaker. And so its purpose is to just kind of scrape everything out completely and get it out of that glassware. The pipette and the bulb, contrary to popular belief, is not a turkey baster. So, you know, when you look in the drawer that you have, you might see a blue bulb and you might see an orange bulb. The blue bulb is actually a better bulb and it won't even fit on the end of that glass pipette. It won't stick to it. You can't just stick that glass pipette right in there and have it stay on like a turkey baster. The orange bulb you actually can, but it takes a little bit of pressure and you might just break that pipette. And so you don't want to do that. You don't want to stick the bulb on the end of the glass pipette. It's not made for that. What you actually do is you rest the bulb on the pipette and then you go to your beaker of solution or whatever it is that you want to draw up with the pipette. You have the bulb squeezed before you put the pipette in the solution. And then once it's in the solution, you release the bulb and you let the solution come up into the pipette, but you don't want it going into the bulb. Because then once that stuff gets in the bulb, if you're working with an acid or a base or just whatever chemical, it contaminates the bulb and you really got to spend a lot of time trying to rinse that thing out. So you only want to go up into the pipette. And what you actually do is once you get to a certain level, you quickly take the bulb off of the pipette and stick your thumb on top of the pipette, kind of like if you were just sucking up water out of a straw and then you took your mouth off of the straw. If you put your thumb over the end, you'd be able to kind of have all that water or milk or whatever it is that you sucked up in the straw stay in the straw. And so that's how you use a pipette, and you just gradually or easily lift your thumb off the type of the pipe off the top of the pipette and you let out whatever it is that you're working with out of the pipette. So pipettes are really nice because you can measure up a really precise amount of liquid, 3.52 milliliters of liquid, and you can get real precise with those. The Flint starter, everybody loves the Flint starter. If you have a Flint starter that doesn't have a Flint or isn't giving you a spark, make sure you check that tip that's resting against the file inside the Flint starter. If you need a new Flint, let me know. Otherwise, you'll spend a lot of time rubbing that thing back and forth against the file, not really getting any spark, and just getting a little frustrated. So check the Flint in the Flint starter. You grab that, and you use that to start those Bunsen burners. The ring clamp, we've mentioned that a couple times already. It's a ring. It's got a clamp on the end of it. It's a ring clamp. And basically, that attaches to the ring stand. Since we're talking about a ring stand, here's a picture of a ring stand apparatus, and it's got the ring clamp on it, Bunsen burner underneath, and so that ring stand obviously has all kinds of things attached to it, the ring clamp, the utility clamp, lots of things attached to the ring clamp. The glassware, we talked about the second drawer that you have in the lab, has all your glassware and you've got your beakers in there at different sizes, 50 milliliters, 100 milliliters, 150, 250, 400, 600 milliliter beakers are all in there. Erlenmeyer flasks, you know, what's the difference between a beaker and a flask? Well, obviously the shape, but why do Erlenmeyer flasks look the way they do? Well, they're actually made for mixing. It's all in the wrist, baby. And so, yeah, you grab that Erlenmeyer flask, and you just kind of swirl whatever is in that Erlenmeyer flask back and forth, and it's really made for mixing. You can go ahead and swirl with a beaker, but you might get some sloshing, and so that narrow mouth of the Erlenmeyer flask makes it really nice to mix up whatever it is you've got in that flask. Graduated cylinders, used to measure out volumes of liquids. You're very familiar with those. You want to make sure that you read the bottom of the meniscus when you're working, especially with water. There's actually some liquids that won't give you a meniscus. If you're working with a lot of organic type compounds, things like gasoline, that won't give you a meniscus because the individual molecules are not polar. They're not polar. So if you remember, maybe from freshman science, water molecules are sticky. They're polar. They're kind of like little magnets. They got a positive and a negative end. And because of that polarity, water shows and presents capillarity. It actually sticks to the glass. And so where the water is against the edge of the glass in the graduated cylinder, it actually is kind of working its way up towards the top against gravity. And in doing so, creates that little bevel, that little swoop that we call a meniscus, kind of like the meniscus in your knee. The cartilage in your knee has a little swoop in it so that the bone can rest right in that cartilage. So that's where that name meniscus comes from. A watch glass is, it's kind of like if you had a huge watch, the glass that would be going over the hands of the watch would be the watch glass. And so we use watch glasses for a lot of different things in class, and we'll kind of talk about how we use those as we do labs with the different watch glasses that we have. Crucible and cover, we mentioned those earlier. You've got that crucible and that cover that goes on top, and what those crucibles are used for are taking things. One of the most common labs that you might see in our class and even in college chemistry classes, intro college chemistry classes, are taking magnesium, putting it in a crucible, and getting it really, really, really hot so that you make magnesium oxide. And so what we do with crucibles is we actually take things, we put them in the crucible, we get them extremely hot. The crucible starts to glow red hot because we get it so hot. It's ceramic, it can take that heat. It's not a problem for a crucible. Small test tubes. Large test tubes, extra large test tubes. You're familiar with test tubes, and we're going to be using those a lot throughout the year. The evaporating dish is used to evaporate the water out of wet chemicals. And so sometimes if we have, in one of the labs that we do, when we actually take copper sulfate and we do a ton of different things with it, we make copper oxide, and then we make copper something else, and copper something else, and copper something else. And then eventually we end up with just copper metal, copper powder. And it's wet, and so we want to see how much copper we have. Well, if it's wet and we try to mass it, it's going to weigh too much. We're going to be weighing the water. And so what we'll do is we'll put that copper in an evaporating dish, and we'll kind of bake it and let all that water evaporate right out. Now we can weigh that copper and see how much we actually have. In your cupboard, along with the ring stand, you're going to find your Bunsen burner. And so if you take a look inside that cupboard, you'll see some other things that we're not going to talk about in this podcast, like the water trough and the wide mouth bottles that are in there. But your Bunsen burner sits in the cupboard with the ring stand. And so remember, when you're using a Bunsen burner, and we'll go over this more so in class, but you really want to have that perfect flame. You want to have that blue flame that has that nice light blue cone on the inside of a darker blue cone. You don't want to have what I call the Statue of Liberty flame, where it's this big yellow thing that's just kind of flimsy and flickering and all over the place. You don't want the Statue of Liberty flame. You want the nice blue flame. That's the hottest flame that we're going to get with these Bunsen burners. And actually the hottest part of that flame is right at the tip of that light blue cone that's on the inside of that flame. And so if we're trying to get something really hot like those crucibles, we'd want to set the base of that crucible right at the top of the light blue flame. Well, that's all we have about equipment. I hope as you were able to watch the pictures and listen to the podcast that you were able to review really well and even learn a little bit more about some of the equipment that we're going to be using this year. So, hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll talk to you soon.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for ChemCast, feel free to send an email to tschultz@raider.net. That's tschultz@raider.net. Thanks for listening to ChemCast.